The Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI. Each week, we introduce you to something new, something that'll make you think, something that might change your life. Here's this week's author interview on the Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI.
Joining us this week for the Wednesday Bookmark is Thomas Kersting. Thomas is a nationally renowned psychotherapist, a speaker, an author, and a television personality. He was co-host of the former A&E series Surviving Marriage and Monster In-Laws. Thomas also hosted shows for the National Geographic Channel, the Food Network, and Oprah's Wellness Network. He lives in New Jersey. We're going to talk this morning about his book, Disconnected: How to Protect Your Kids from the Harmful Effects of Device Dependency. Thomas, so appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Around 2009, you began noticing an uptick in teenagers diagnosed with ADHD at a school where you worked as a counselor. Tell us the story of how you made that observation.
Yeah, so I worked, that was my 15th year in education. I just actually retired after 25 years back in February. So I used to run a committee there called the 504 Committee, and essentially what we would do is if we had any student that had any kind of a disability, they were protected under the Persons with Disability Act and would be eligible for accommodation. So back then and prior to then, the typical disabilities that we would field by committee would be kids with Crohn's disease, diabetes, physical disabilities, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So around September 2009, we had a parent meeting for a 14-year-old boy who had been recently diagnosed with attention deficit disorder, and that was the first time I had seen that, and I was quite puzzled because ADHD is the average age of diagnosis is 8 years old, and by age five, if a child has it, it's kind of, a parent can't not notice it. So here we had a 14-year-old. Long story short, from that point on, almost every one of the referrals that school year and continually were for kids with ADHD, and that's how I got into the topic, screen time,
wow,
and how it correlates to ADHD symptoms.
Wow. How do you believe social media impacts the development of self-esteem?
Well, when you look at social media, I refer to it in my book as social media self-esteem. You take a 13-year-old pre-adolescent or a 14, 15-year-old adolescent, very difficult transition stage from childhood into adulthood. It's that middle ground, and it's littered with insecurities. In and of itself, it's very challenging. Now you throw social media into the equation, and what we have now is millions of kids all over the world that are comparing themselves to every other one of their peers' self-glorified lives. You know, the photos, the videos, and so forth. And they get immersed in that, and it further complicates their self-esteem. And they want some attention, so they start posting things. And I always say when I'm lecturing that self-esteem starts with the word self, not others. So there's nothing from the outside world that could fill your inside world out. And what's unintentionally happening is our kids are having the reverse of that. They're not getting a sense of self. And everything they think they are is a reflection of what others think of them.
I thought you made a very interesting point at the beginning of Chapter 4 on multitasking and homework. Talk more about the negatives associated with multitasking generally as they relate to our kids.
Yeah, so multitasking is task switching. It's going from one thing to the next. So adults and kids alike, you'll see somebody's watching TV, they're checking emails, they're listening to music, their phone's buzzing and so forth. And the brain cannot do two things at once. People think they're good at multitasking, but the higher the level of multitasking, the more lousy you actually are at it. And any parents listening right now, with COVID and kids being homeschooled, doing their schoolwork on a computer, what I saw in the spring was a bunch of teenagers who all of a sudden started failing in school that were prior to that doing very well. And the reason for that is because their phone was next to them while they were doing their online classes. The teachers can't see this. So any parents listening right now, if your kids are doing a lot of their school, their actual school time at home on a computer, make sure that phone is nowhere near them because they're going to get distracted by it and they're not going to be able to comprehend and take in everything that teacher's teaching.
Another huge area that you delve into is gaming. What's your take on video game addiction?
Well, it just a couple years ago, the World Health Organization finally recognized gaming disorder as a classifiable diagnosable condition. And I have a lot of crazy stories in the book of kids when the video games were taken away from them, the reaction was not much different than taking drugs away from a drug addict.
Wow.
Like punching holes in walls. One kid took a knife out and threatened to cut his dad's guitar strings. So that these sorts of reactions to taking away a gaming system is evident. It really points to the fact that it is addictive in nature, and it's designed that way. These games are designed to trigger the dopamine and to have like, it's like a digital slot machine effect. They're designed that way so these kids want to keep coming back for more because they get that feel-good chemical. And many people don't realize this. So we got to, you know, one rule of thumb I tell parents is just don't allow video games during the school week. Let your kids play on the weekends, monitor it. But during the school week, it's all they're going to think about. They're going to race through their schoolwork to get to the video games, and it's not going to be a good situation.
You also have a chapter on emotional development. How do handheld devices factor into emotional development, do you think?
Yeah, well, it's really emotional intelligence. So we have something called an IQ, right? Your intelligence quotient. Mm-hmm. You're born with an IQ of 120. You're not getting it to 130. You don't have any books to read. Mm-hmm. Your EQ is your emotional quotient, also known as emotional intelligence. And emotional intelligence is not something that you're born with. It's something that you develop. And it's, you know, the research shows that having a high EQ, emotional intelligence, which is the ability to understand your emotions, regulate your emotions, empathize with the emotions of others, and cope with life's adversities, to develop a high EQ, there's only one way to do that, and that is to have lots and lots of face-to-face interaction with our fellow human beings. And the problem is that kids do very little of that nowadays. Most of their communication is screen-to-screen, and their EQs are being compromised. And we have recent college graduates that can't get past a job interview because they don't have those skills, those communication skills that have never developed.
Before we move into what parents can do, and I want to close on that note, are there any other areas, because we've really rushed through some of this, discussed in the book that you think it's important that we mention here?
Yeah, one of the most important things in the book and at my lectures is something that I refer to, something called social conformity. So if I'm in a crowd of, and there's 300 parents at one of my lectures, and I'll say, raise your hand if you think it's smart for an 11-year-old to have a smartphone. Nobody has ever raised their hand. Raise your hand if you think it's smart for a kid under the age of 18 to play violent rated M video games. Nobody's ever raised their hand. Yet, the average age of first smartphone issuance is 10.3 years old. Everybody knows it's a bad idea, but they still do it. So essentially what parents are doing unintentionally is sort of going with the flow, following the crowd, because we tend to do what everybody else around us does. So we have to understand, we have to stick to our parenting rules, stick to our gut instincts, and not do what everybody else is doing just because they're doing it, because it's at the sacrifice of our own children.
Yeah, good point. You close this book with a few chapters on what parents can do, so let's end there. Give us a few of your best tips, techniques, recommendations on how to curtail the harmful effects of device dependency.
Yeah, so number one is parents have to practice what they preach. The average kid, depending on what research they're looking at, spends about 9 hours a day staring at a screen, and the average adult spends slightly more than that. So the average household in America looks more like four individuals that don't really communicate living under the same roof looking at a screen. So parents have to dial their own devices down and be present with their kids. That's number one. Number two is try to send your kid to school without the phone. They don't need phones. Go get them. There's something called a dumb phone made by Gab Wireless, G-A-B-B. Looks like a smartphone, appropriate for younger kids. You can text, you can make phone calls and so forth. And you know, anybody that wants to, if you go to Gab Wireless and you put in the promo code SMARTPARENT, you'll get $10 off it. Another thing is make sure that your kids are in a centralized location when they're doing their homework, like the kitchen. If they're in their bedroom, they're going to get distracted by their phones. Don't let your child have the phone in the room at night at all. In fact, don't let it be there because they're going to be up till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I see it every day. And get your kids involved. Let them be parts of the family, you know, helping out with cooking and cleaning and being part of the family household. Very simple things. Final part of the book goes into something deeper about mindfulness. You're going to have to get the book in order to learn more about that, which is just understanding the deeper level of self. But we're distracted externally all day long, that we don't take time to decompress and sit in silence, and it's extremely important that we do so and teach our kids that.
Some great thoughts in there. Disconnected, How to Protect Your Kids from the Harmful Effects of Device Dependency. Thomas Kersting, our guest this week for the Wednesday Bookmark. Thanks so much again, Thomas.
The Wednesday Bookmark on Family Radio CHRI. To find out more about this week's bookmark or hear the author interview again, or to discover previous books highlighted on the Wednesday Bookmark, go to chri.ca.